Well, it's going to be a tough act to follow after after Ted's class and after Jeremy's Lord's Supper this morning. And I think we're all just trying to dry our eyes out after that. But that was a beautiful story. And I will try to, Karen and I will need to watch that. We've never seen that movie, but it sounds very, very uplifting, beautiful. So we're happy to have the Lees with us from Alaska. Happy to have Lynn with us from Cincinnati. And it's great, Jerry, to see you here this morning. I haven't got to speak to you yet, but I want a hug before we're out here today. So anyway, it's good to see you this morning. And I'd like to now invite you to turn with me to Psalm 27. We're going to begin by reading some verses there in Psalm 27. And we're going to be talking about the theme of courage. Psalm 27, beginning with verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries. My false witnesses have risen against me, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. This is a beautiful verse and introduces the subject of courage and a subject that we don't talk about near enough. When we think about the qualities of character and virtues, we sometimes overlook courage. And yet courage really is undergirding all of the other qualities of Christian life in many ways, that without courage, what good is our faith if we do not have the courage of our convictions? And what does love really amount to if we do not have the courage to love those who we have in our lives who need love, the love of God? And so courage, I believe, is very underrated. And sometimes it's a quality that we don't recognize as it applies to us and the need that we have as Christians to strive for courage in our own personal lives. The psalmist here was writing about a time in his life where he is turning to the Lord, leaning upon the Lord for strength, and seeing the beauty of God in his life and how much he needs him, surrounded by enemies. But he makes the statement there that unless he had believed and been able to see the goodness of the Lord, that he would surely have lost heart. And in the Hebrew language, it doesn't even have those words that are in italics. Those are supplied by the translators. It just reads that unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and it just stops there. It's not a complete thought. But it implies those words that we would not, he would not have made it. He would not have come through those things unless it was for his faith in God, the goodness of God. As we look at life around us, we see the evil. We see the wickedness so many times that surrounds us. But if it weren't for the fact that we can see the goodness of the Lord still in our world around us, we would lose heart. We would get discouraged and give up in our faith. So he says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. I want to focus on those thoughts there, especially in that verse 14. Be of good courage. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. that it explains to us where courage comes from. It comes from our faith in God. That is the basis of our courage and how we as Christians come to have courage to live the Christian life is because of the goodness of the Lord that we can see evident in our lives and in His providence care that He cares for us and provides for us. Several things have really brought courage to my mind in the recent days. One of them is I seen the picture of my grandson on his Instagram bio photo, and thinking of, is he jumping over the rocks in open space? It makes me think a little bit of the Bourne Supremacy or some of the movies where the people are jumping over the tall buildings. And I'm concerned for the safety of my grandson, but it does bring to mind that courage in life, as young men like to take courage, they like to take risks, they want to be known as brave and willing to do dangerous things. So that was one of the things that brought this about in my life. Another was the reading of the story of Alvin York recently, better known as Sergeant York, a great hero of World War I. And Julie gave me this book for Christmas. So as I began reading this, I was just really, really caught up in the story of Alvin York's life. And as a young man growing up in the Cumberland Valley in northern Tennessee, he got involved in the drinking of the white lightning, the moonshine, and but it on January the 15th of 1915, he was converted to Christ and dedicated his life as a young man, 16 years old or 18 years old, and very devout in his faith and believing that, above all, a Christian should not go to war, that a Christian should not take another life. And then when World War I began to break out and Germany was spreading over Europe and taking over France and Belgium and other countries, and people began to rally the cry that we needed to go and help. And it was a struggle in his mind for this young man whether he should be enlisting in the war or not. So it was through a Bible study that he had with the two of the Army enlisting officers that they studied the Bible in his home for over 2 hours. And it was eventually Ezekiel chapter 33 that convinced him, where the Bible talks about the if the watchman sees the enemy coming and he does nothing to warn his fellow men, then he will be held responsible. The blood will be upon him. And applying that to the question of whether a Christian should join the war and help his countrymen, he came to that conclusion that God was calling him to do his responsible thing as a young man, and so he became involved in the war. But the battle for which he is so well known was on October the 8th, 1918, and it was in the little village of Chatel Chehery in northern France, and on the border of Belgium, where the German troops were holding the hill, number 211, and they had a commanding advantage. They were set up in their trenches with their machine gun nests, and they were commanding the supply route down through the road to bring the supplies to the German troops. On the morning of October the 8th, his commanding officer, under the commands of the General Pershing, they said that we have to take that hill. And so Alvin York's troop, the 82nd Airborne, they were assigned to make a route around the back of the mountain to come down and behind the German machine guns. And in that, many of his fellow comrades in his group were killed, including his best friend. And there were only six men left, seven. And Alvin York suddenly found himself in command of his unit. Well, he had been assured in his heart before he left home that when he was praying on the mountainside, that the verses came to his mind in the Bible, "Not a hair of your head will be hurt." He believed in his heart that nothing would happen, that God was protecting him. And so he charged that machine gun nest and began opening fire. And while he was charging it, men on the left and the right of him were falling, but never a single injury happened to Alvin York until he stood atop the machine gun nest and the Germans surrendered their weapons. And so he led back that day, later that morning, 132 German prisoners surrendered their weapons. And this became one of the great turning points of World War I. And he received the Medal of Freedom, one of the highest awards for a soldier. But throughout his life, he said he was no hero, that it was strictly by the power of God that this happened, and that there was no human explanation for it other than it was the power of God that was with him that day. So it was a great example to me of courage, and courage especially from the standpoint of a person's faith in God, giving him that great courage that he demonstrated on the field of battle. So I want to raise the question with us, and another reason that this has been on our minds is that Karen has been doing an exercise every day where we pick a topic from the Bible, a character, and this week one of the days was courage, and so she finds verses from the Bible and she prays and reads about this a lot, and it's a great exercise that she is doing and sharing with me. But what is courage? Well, when we look at the definition of courage in the Bible, and we look at the definition of courage in the Webster Dictionary, is that quality of mind which enables one to encounter danger and difficulties with firmness or without fear, or fainting up heart, valor, boldness, resolution. So it is a quality that most of us feel like we don't really have that quality of courage in our life. It's the ability to do something that is very frightening and very dangerous. We think about the firefighters going into the buildings. We think about the policemen going into a dangerous situation to arrest a person and save lives. We think about the soldiers on the field of battle. And so sometimes the reason that we don't think about courage is because we don't think it really applies to us, or that we do not have that same situation of life that calls for courage very often. And yet I would say, suggest to all of us that courage is something that we all need and apply in our lives on a daily basis. When we live the Christian life, when we as a father raising a family and commanded as we are in the Bible to be the head of the home, and to lead our families in spiritual ways, to be faithful to God, to train up our children in the ways of the Lord, and to love our wives as Christ loved the church, that this is something that calls for courage in our lives to make those difficult choices and decisions on a daily basis to do what God is calling us to do. Courage is not simply heroism that is demonstrated by our first line defenders, but it is a quality that undergirds the love and the peace and the joy and the faith that we have in order to live the Christian life and serve God. So I would suggest to us that we all need courage, and that the Bible teaches that courage is a quality that applies to every one of us as Christians. That in fact the opposite of courage is fear. And that if we live our lives motivated by fear, the Bible tells us what will happen in the final outcome in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 7, where he says that the fearful and unbelieving will be without. He says, the cowardly, the unbelieving, the fearful, the abominable shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. The first one that he calls attention to is the fearful. So God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a strong mind. Now the word courage, it's interesting because it comes from the Latin word cor, which refers to the heart. And courage is motivated by the heart. It is a fearless ability of a person motivated by their heart, what is in their heart, to do what is right, to stand for what is right against great odds, and even in the face of danger. That is what the definition of courage calls for in a person's life. But it comes from the heart. It's motivated by the heart. And that is where our faith is involved as Christians. Now the Hebrew word chesach, that is often used to translate the word courage in the Old Testament, it literally means to show oneself strong. And so all of these things are involved when we turn to the Bible and we think about what courage really involves and what courage really is in a person's life. In our lives as Christians, what does courage look like? What does it mean for us to be courage? Now, there are many quotes that are inspirational quotes that we can find on the subject of courage. And John Wayne said that courage is being scared to death and saddling up anyway. So we find a lot of quotes that are very uplifting and good to think about. Winston Churchill said that success is not final. Failure is not final. It is the courage to continue that counts. George Patton said that courage is fear holding on a minute longer. Muhammad Ali said, he who is not courageous enough to take risks will accomplish nothing in life. And C.S. Lewis said that courage is not simply one of the virtues, but the form of every virtue at the testing point. So I think those are worth thinking about, worth thought in our lives. But what is biblical courage? That is the difference between worldly courage. We think of valor on the field of battle. We think about the firefighters who go into the buildings, things like that. Great courage, great demonstration of saving lives, risking their lives, putting their lives at risk. I read about the soldier that was awarded posthumously when President Bush was still the president, that in the battle in Iraq, that they were fighting the battle, and he and his two fellow soldiers next to him, the enemy threw the hand grenade into their midst. And as he realized that he did not have time, he could have gotten himself to a position of safety, But his two other soldiers did not see the hand grenade, and they were going to die. And so he threw himself on the hand grenade and gave up his life, but saved the lives of his two companions that day. So he was awarded the medal after his death by President Bush. But what is biblical courage? We find many examples of biblical courage in the Scriptures, where in Numbers chapter 13 and 14, we find the story of Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb, when the Israelites were sent out to spy on the land of the promised land of Canaan by Moses, to get the information of what was going on there so the Israelites would know what God was going to do to give to them this land. When the spies returned, 10 of the spies brought back the report that this is a wonderful land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, but it is a land that we could never capture because of the giants in the land. It is too well defended. But the two spies, Joshua and Caleb, brought a different report. They said, yes, truly it is a wonderful land that God is giving us. But they said, we know that God will be with us. It is true there are giants there, but God is with us, and we need to go immediately and take the land. Well, because the people doubted the report of Joshua, they turned the hearts of the people against them, and they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. But Joshua and Caleb were the two men that led the people across the Jordan River when the day finally arrived at the end of those 40 years. We see that courageous stand that they took for the Lord, based on the faith they had in their hearts that God would be with them and they would be victorious. We see another great example of courage in the book of Joshua, in Joshua chapter 1, where Joshua was chosen to become the leader of the people following the death of Moses. And in similar words there, he was exhorted to lead the people into the promised land, and that God would be with them. He said there in Joshua chapter 1, beginning with verse 3, he said, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. In verse 5, he said, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Verse 8, he said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So three times he is told to be strong and be courageous. But he is given the assurance God will be with you everywhere you go. Now that was a scary time for the people of Israel. They knew the promises of God were with them. They knew that God had delivered them out of Egypt. And yet as they looked at that promised land, it was very intimidating to them. Those cities were with high walls around them. There were giants in that land. And so they didn't really know how it was going to turn out. That's where the courage was necessary, not only for Joshua, but for all the men of Israel. And so they went up to fight the battle of Jericho, and they began city after city to try to the conquest of the land. It required tremendous courage on the part of the people in order to complete that. But then we come to the story of David and Goliath, 1 Samuel chapter 17, where David, as a young shepherd boy, was sent to the field of battle to take food supplies for his brothers who were in the armies of Israel. And as he arrived on the battle scene that day, he heard this Philistine giant, Goliath, came out on the other side of the valley and issued his challenge that David learned he had been making this challenge daily. And no one had answered him. The Bible describes Goliath as being 6 cubits and a span in height. Most Bible scholars say they believe that means he was 9 feet 9 inches tall. It's amazing. One of the surviving parts of that clan of giants that we talked about earlier, most likely. But anyway, David responded to that and said, "Why isn't anyone going out to meet the challenge of this Philistine?" And they said, "We don't have anyone that is willing to go out and meet the challenge." His challenge was, "If you will send out one man against me, the two of us, we will fight the battle. And whoever wins that battle, that will be the victor. We don't need to have the whole armies engaged here," in other words. "Just send out two men and we will have a head-to-head confrontation." No one of Israel would accept that challenge. And David, as a young man, maybe about 17 years old at the time, he said, "Well, I'll go." And he went out armed only with his sling and 5 stones that he chose from the brook. Philistine giant looked at him and he said, "I'm going to feed your bones to the birds this day that the whole world will know who the real God is." And David said, "You come to me with your boast and your bravery, but I come to you in the name of the living God." And so he chose 1 stone and put it in the sling and threw and struck the Goliath in the middle of his forehead, and he fell to the ground. Great courage that David demonstrated that day. But again, it was faith that came from his faith in God, that God would be with him. And yet, going out into a battle that he didn't know for sure what the outcome would be, and yet he was trusting God for the outcome. That is where biblical courage comes from. It's our faith in God, that God is powerful. God is over all things. And God is active in our lives. And yet sometimes we don't always know what the outcome will actually be. But we trust God. We put our faith in Him. In Daniel chapter 3, there is the wonderful lesson of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, as we read the book of Daniel, we come to realize that these 3 young men had been chosen by King Nebuchadnezzar, and they were placed in this position after they had been taken as captives from Jerusalem as among the nobles of the young men of Israel. Yet they were enlisted in a program of the Babylonian training. And after 3 years of this training, they were chosen to be regional governors throughout the land of Babylon. So they were put in positions of great authority and power and prominence throughout the land. But in Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar built a huge image of gold that he put up on the plain, and he expected everyone to bow down before it. But these 3 Hebrews refused to bow down, and it soon became obvious, and the word spread, that these 3 men would not bow down, were not bowing down before the image of the king. Nebuchadnezzar was furious, and he called them in, and he began to admonish them and say that he would give them one more opportunity to bow down, but if not, they would be thrown into the fiery furnace. Well, their answer that day is so impressive. They said, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." In other words, we don't have to even think about what our answer is going to be, because we're not going to bow down before this image. Our God is able to deliver us. We have no doubt about that. But if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow down before that image. You can do what you want with us. Go ahead. Take your best shot. But we're not going to bow down before that image. So they made it very known. That was great courage that they demonstrated. And of course, the apostles, Peter and John, when they went up in the temple and they healed the lame man, then they spoke to the crowds that day, and yet they were preaching the resurrection of Jesus, which the Jewish authorities arrested them and commanded them to not preach that message anymore of Jesus Christ raised from the dead. Their answer that day was without hesitation. Peter and John answered and said, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you be the judge, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Did they have courage? You bet they had courage. They had tremendous courage. Their faith was the basis for that courage. They went on to, again, day after day, stand up and preach and testify that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he has been raised from the dead. So what is the basis for courage in our lives as Christians? Because, as I have said, there is a need for courage in your life every day if you're going to be faithful to God. If you're going to live out your faith, we can have our faith and say, "I believe that Jesus is Christ," but if I'm not willing to live it out in the world around me, then that means I am living in fear. I'm not living in faith unless I have the courage to stand up for my convictions of my faith. And so what is the basis for courage? The basis for courage is the promise of the Lord's presence with his people in our lives. That same promise that we find in the Old Testament that is repeated again throughout the New Testament, that the Lord has promised us, "I will be with you. I will not forsake you." He said in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 7 and 8. This was Moses speaking to Joshua at the time that Moses was going to know that he was about to die, and that Joshua was going to become the leader of the people. He said, "Be strong and of good courage, for you must go with his people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed." That's where his courage came from. David, when he was speaking to Solomon, before Solomon became king as a young man, David spoke those same words to Solomon. He said, "Be strong and of good courage and do it." That is, build the temple. Don't just talk about it, do it, build it. "Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. That's where the courage comes from in the life of a Christian, that the Lord has promised He will be with us. Psalm 27:14, the verse that we read at the beginning, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." In Psalm 31:23-24, "Oh, love the Lord, all you His saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord." We come to the New Testament and we find that same theme is there. Encouragement for the people of God to live faithfully because the Lord will not forsake us. Matthew 28, He says, "Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." I love Romans 8:33-37. "What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us." It's the promise that God is with us that gives us that courage that we need. So when it comes to our lives as Christians, in our own personal life is where it comes down to whether we have this courage or not. We all demonstrate that courage when we stand up and say, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I want to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of my sins." And we make that commitment to Christ and we begin to live the Christian life in a public way, to confess the name of Jesus Christ before men. But then we go home and it's in our daily life that we make that decision each day to apply the teachings of Jesus. And many times that takes that personal bravery and that personal courage to meet those challenges and those struggles that we go through in our own lives. And there's not a one of us here this morning that doesn't go through those very intense struggles at times to follow the Lord and be faithful to Him. And it comes down to the fact that we know the Lord is over everything in life, just as Jesus affirmed when He was on trial. He was on trial before Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate looked at Him and he said, "Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you? Why don't you say something? Why don't you speak up, defend yourself against these charges if you're innocent?" And Jesus said, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." The people that are delivering me, that's the ones that have the sin upon them. It's that knowledge that we have of Jesus, that He is above over all, that God is sitting on the throne, and that He has power over any earthly ruler. Therefore, we're going to serve Him. We're going to be faithful to the Lord. Nothing that the governor, nothing that the civil officers say to us is going to intimidate and prevent us from being faithful to the Lord, because He is above everything else on this earth. That's where the courage comes from in our lives. So we're told in Psalm 46 and verses 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Psalm 118, verse 6, the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Isaiah 41, verse 10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So it's easy for us to see how that applies to our lives. God has promised to be with us. We do not need to be afraid and live in fear. And yet we know that sometimes when we pray to God, God takes away that burden. He comes in and He solves that problem. And we see the answer to that prayer. And yet other times we pray that prayer and God doesn't take away that problem that we are having dealing with. It might be some physical illness. It might be some struggle we have in our life in other ways. And we pray and pray and pray about it, but God doesn't remove it. Yet the promise remains, I will be with you. We read about the Apostle Paul in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The Apostle Paul, because of the revelations that were given to him, he was taken up in revelations in the Spirit, and he saw the wonders of heaven, and he was not allowed to speak about those things. And he was told that because of the abundance and the greatness of the revelation, that a thorn in the flesh was given to me. He doesn't go into the details. What was the thorn of the flesh? All we know that it was something that he struggled with in his life greatly. But he said, I prayed about it. Three times I prayed about it. That God would remove it. And yet, God didn't remove it. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. So Paul says, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul, the Apostle Paul, he said, I will boast about that thorn in the flesh. Because what that tells me is the power of Christ is with me in my life. I'll accept that thorn in the flesh. But I know the Lord is with me. So he went on to say there, verse 10, he said, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. We look at the book of Hebrews, the heroes of faith that are presented there. And they struggled through many things because of their faith. They stayed faithful to God. And some of them battled and they prevailed. And some of them battled and they lost. But they did it through their faith. He goes on to say, beginning with verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea to dry ground, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Look at all those people through their faith They overcame the enemy. They overcame the odds. They were victorious. But then continue reading. He said, still others, he said, had trial of mockings and scourgings. Yes, and chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made apart from us. But we notice what he's pointing out, the fact that here's all these people that we read about in the Old Testament. Through their faith, they went and they conquered the city of Jericho. And they prevailed over the circumstances because of their faith. Then we look at others. The same faith that they had was no less than the others. And yet they went in and fought those battles, and they were sawn in two. And they were thrown to the lion's den. God was with them. So the reality is that when it comes to our courage, we live our lives out of the faith. God is over all. God is with us. He's promised that He will be with us. He will not forsake us. But we do not know the outcome. It's just like Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego answering to King Nebuchadnezzar and saying, King, we don't have to think about it any further. We can tell you right now what our answer is going to be. We're not going to bow down to that image. When our God is able to deliver us, but if He doesn't deliver us, it's not going to change one thing. We're going to do what He tells us to do. We're going to honor Him and be faithful to Him. Because He's the Lord. We're not going to worship these gods that you set up. That's the faith and the courage that we have to live the Christian life. Otherwise, we're going to end up like those that are spoken of in the book of Revelation. That the fearful and the unbelieving, they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. Because they didn't live by faith. They didn't have the courage of their convictions that it requires. Every one of us has to have courage to live our lives by faith. Not live by fear, but live by faith. That's what it comes down to. Well, thank you for your attention this morning. Thank you for your presence, for being here. And we encourage you to think about these things from God's Word that can help us all to live a stronger life, strong in heart, and strong in courage. Be of good courage and wait on the Lord, and He will strengthen your heart. We're going to stand and sing the invitation. If you're subject in any way, we invite you to come while we stand together and sing.
There's a fountain free just for you.